Good morning. Good to see everybody out this morning. Thank you, Noah. If you're visiting with us, we appreciate you being here as well, and we want to come back. I want you to come back and visit us every chance that you get. It won't be long that it'll be a lot of empty spots out there that'll be full on Sunday mornings, and we're looking forward to that. Last Sunday evening, we continue our story. We've been kind of following, not real in depth, but we've been following the relationship of God and Israel from the prophecies going that said they would go into captivity for 70 years. We looked at a few verses about them being in captivity. And last week we looked at the first return under Zerubbabel. And we left off with the fact that these people got distracted. They got distracted for a number of reasons, one of which they were concerned about their livelihoods. But it wasn't just that as well. There were some outside distractions that we're going to look at this morning. As I was reading and as I was studying this, it reminded me so much of our lives and how we get distracted as well when we're trying to serve God. We know what we should be doing. We know the things that we want to try to do. But life gets in the way. Some of the things we can help, some of the things we cannot help. And I think we've got to rewind the tape a little bit, the tape of our spiritual lives. And we've got to go back to our roots, our foundations, and we've got to decide what's the most important thing in our lives. Is the most important thing in our life making sure we're okay and that all is well with us? Or is the most important thing in our lives making sure that our obligations to God are met, making sure that we put Him first in our lives, and making sure that all glory in our lives goes straight to Him? And I think sometimes we can get that mixed up. I think we even try to justify it sometimes by saying, well, I'm taking care of myself, and God understands that. The Lord wants me to take care of myself, because if I don't take care of myself, then I am no good to God. And while that may be true sometimes, that is never true if it means pushing God aside. Okay? God is always first, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what the distraction is, no matter what we brought upon ourselves, no matter what is brought upon us by outside sources, God is always first, and we must keep God as number one priority in our lives. So the children of Israel made it back. We're in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 3 is where we left off. And one thing we noticed when the children of Israel left captivity, the first group, they left captivity, they came back to Jerusalem. Zerubbabel, he came to build the temple. One thing we noticed is the first thing they did when they came back was not go build them a house, not to try to make sure that they were situated. But the first thing Zerubbabel had them do was to reestablish worship, to offer a sacrifice to God. That tells me something. It tells me that these Jews understood that their homes meant nothing without showing God that He was first. Their lives meant nothing without showing God that He was first. And so they sought to make sure that they put God first so that anything they did after that could be blessed. We may be hindering our blessings sometimes if we're not careful. We may think we're blessed, like the children of Israel did in Malachi. I'm sure they thought they were blessed. They were keeping back some of their tithing from God. And the Lord said, why are you holding back your tithing? And He said, bring me my tithing to the storehouse. And He said, I'm going to open up the gates of heaven. I'm going to pour out blessings on you that you cannot handle. We may think we're blessed, but how truly blessed would we be if we just opened up our hearts and gave our all to God and to His will? You just never know. So they reestablished worship. And once they reestablished worship, they offered a sacrifice to God, then they started to build the temple. And as they were rebuilding the temple, they met some resistance. And one of the main points, the first main point in my lesson this morning that I want to point out is this right here. When you are trying to live for God, when you're trying to serve God, when you're trying to carry out the work of God, there are always going to be outside sources that tell you you should not do it. That source may be your husband. That source may be your wife. That source may be your children. That source may be relatives who have come from out of town to visit you Sunday morning. You haven't seen them in 20 years and they're leaving at 2 o'clock. And they want you to miss service to spend time with them. And you reason in your mind, well, I have evening service so I can do it. Those influences could be anything to distract us. It could be people who don't want to see you successful, whether it's in your individual life or whether it's in the church life. There could be people out there who don't want to see you successful. They don't want to see us successful. And they say and do anything to make sure that you believe you can't be successful and we believe we can't be successful. And when we allow these outside sources to make their way into our hearts and we give them attention, and we give them meaning, then it begins to affect the way we move forward with our life and God. In Ezra chapter 4, in verse number 1, it says, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and said, 'Let us build with you.'" They said, "We want to help." Now, remember what verse 1 says. They were adversaries. They didn't come there as a team player. They were adversaries, which leads me to believe this right here. The only reason they were trying to insert themselves into the work that was going on is so that they could destroy it. Everybody who joins with you is not for you. They're only there for one reason, and that is to make sure you're not successful. And you've got to be wise enough to know the difference. Well, what did Zerubbabel say? In verse number 3, "But Zerubbabel, the son of Jeshua, and the rest of the heads of the father, the house of Israel, say, 'You may do nothing with us to build the house of God. But we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded.'" They said, "Nah, we appreciate it, but no thank you. No thank you." And he was wise. Now, what happened after that? Verse 4. "Then the people of the land," their adversaries, the very one who tried to come and join them in the work, "tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in the building, and they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia." These people didn't want to help. They came to destroy. They came to insert themselves within the group, to make it look like they were blending in, to make it look like that they had the same goal and purposes as they did, but they didn't. Their motives were evil, and they were going to take every opportunity they could to make sure that the work was not successful. You've got to be wise in your personal life, on your job, wherever you are. Kids in school, you've got to be wise enough to realize that every person in school says that your friend, they're your friends. They're not your friends. They don't want to see you successful. You've got to be wise enough to know that and not to assume that everybody who is friendly with you has your best interest in mind. Sometimes we can become too trusting, and we think that God wants us to be trusting as Christians, and we just trust everybody that we come in contact with. Jesus says, "I'm sending you out," of Matthew 10, his disciples, "I'm sending you out in the midst of wolves. Be wise as serpents, but be harmless as doves." We've got to use wisdom when it comes to our lives, our personal lives, and our lives when it comes to following God. These people tried to destroy them. They tried to discourage them. And so what they did in verse number 6 is, they sent out, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. You know what an accusation is? An accusation, many times, is a lie that's made toward somebody, either based upon evil motives to destroy that individual, or based upon hearsay that they did not take the time to find out the facts about, and they just started spreading around. Accusation can destroy you. All it takes is one, y'all. You know why accusations destroy you? Because of the nature of people. People believe bad news before they believe good news. I don't know why that is the case. I don't know why we're so drawn to lies and falsehoods. And all it takes is one accusation. I was listening to a talk radio host one time who taught me this. He said, he was talking to his audience. He said, you know something, why a lie is so destructive? He said, the reason why a lie is so destructive is because there's no defense against it, number one. There's no defense against a lie. Because half of the people that the lie is spread to, you never know who they are. So how can you defend yourself? And number two, the nature of the charge, whether true or false, the nature of the charge will be forever impressed upon the mind of the individuals who heard the charge. And in the back of their mind, they always wonder, did he really do that? Did she really say that? Look at what recently happened to Mr. Judge Kavanaugh. Whether he's innocent or guilty, I know not. But I do know after so many years, these ladies who came forward and made up this stuff about him had no evidence. As a matter of fact, all the evidence that they had pointed more to the fact that he was innocent. All the people that they said were witnesses, when they were questioned, they said, I don't know what these people are talking about. Just out the blue. Made up all this stuff. And you know what? Even after no evidence showed anything, this man, it was no doubt in nobody's mind that this man hadn't done anything that these people were talking about. You know what? It doesn't matter. It's always a stigma on his name now because of the accusations. Accusations can destroy people. Accusations have been made about this church. Accusations have been made about our leadership, our members, me. Ain't the first time an accusation has been made about me, though. But it's a tactic of Satan to discourage you and to get you distracted from what you should be focused on, and that is serve God. And you have got to put accusations aside if you know it's not true, and you've got to move on with your life. And say, I can't control what Satan does. And you got to block that stuff out of your mind. These people were hurling accusations against the Jews. They even put a letter together about this accusation. And the letter actually starts in verse number 11 to King Artaxerxes. They wrote this letter to him. And they wrote this letter to him talking about how this city of Jerusalem used to be evil. And how it used to be a rebellious city. And they told King Artaxerxes, they said, if you don't stop this city from building, if this city becomes as strong as it used to be, they may as well rebel against you too. They were using Israel's past against them, mixed in with other falsehoods and accusations. Has somebody ever tried to use your past against you? You know what I tell people who try to use my past against me? If you're going to use my past against me, get it right. Don't go adding lies in with it. If you want to know about it, ask me, I'll tell you. I had someone walk up to me here. How could I say this where it's not too specific? had somebody walk up to me here and said, I heard this. I just want you to know I know. I had to hold my tongue, y'all. It wasn't worth it, and they were not worth my time. And I said, well, you can't know too much because you ain't talked to me once. How in the world do you know what the horse said and you hadn't even talked to the horse? I was under the impression when I came up from the older people that when you want to know what's said, hear it from the what? The horse's mouth. When someone says they know something and they ain't talk to you, shake the dust off your feet, turn around and walk away because you don't need to be associated with them anyway. Because a true child of God is going to try to find out the facts from both sides. A true child of God is not going to try to find out the facts from their friends. A true child of God is not going to try to find the facts from the enemies of the friends. A true child of God who is objective and wants to get to the truth and try to bring parties together and mend the relationship because they want everybody to go to heaven is going to say, okay, well, let me talk to such and such first. And they're going to go over here and they're going to talk to such and such. And then they're not going to draw a conclusion as to who's right and wrong. They're going to say, how can we fix this? That's what a true child of God does. And if we're not conducting our lives like that, we need to re-examine our motives. Because we have one purpose in the body of Christ, and that is to make sure everybody gets to heaven. And if we know anything that's stopping our brothers and sisters from getting to heaven, then we should be trying to help and not hurt. They sent this letter to the king, and watch what the king did. He told the Jews to stop. In verse number 24 of chapter 4, the Bible says, thus the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased. And this is where, once these people became discouraged and troubled in the heart, and they sent this letter and said, cease, this is where they went back to their homes and they started their own lives. They had forgot about the temple. And God had to raise up Haggai the prophet. Here's where a little bit of that the Old Testament books come in that we have been talking about during the evening services. This is where God raised up Haggai. He raised up Zechariah. He sent Zechariah and Haggai to them. And he said, go tell these people they need to get back over there to the temple. And they need to stop worrying about their lives because I am first. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and in Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. And so Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jozadak rose up and noticed they began to build the house of God. Now when you go over and read Haggai, the book of Haggai, Haggai chapter 1 addresses this, and in the same chapter it says Zerubbabel them they went to build. This is where Haggai and Zechariah are inserted into the history of the Jewish people. So they began to build. They started back building the temple. And you know, woo boy, they made it through it. There are no more accusations. There are no more lies going to take place, are there? Yes. Once you defeat Satan, church, realize that it's a constant job for the rest of our lives to defeat him. We've gone through a lot over the last couple of years here at Austinville, and we will continue to go through a lot as a Decatur Church of Christ. Let's be realistic about it. Why? Because as long as it exists, the people of God, Satan will also exist. And as long as the people of God are striving to get to heaven and be successful, Satan will strive to stop us. If you think just because us coming together as the Decatur Church of Christ, there are going to be no more problems and no more obstacles, think again. That's why I don't... I have to slow down and watch what I say. Since you understand that, when problems do happen,
it doesn't mean you're in the wrong family, y'all. It doesn't mean you're in the wrong location.
Because what I have seen through biblical examples, and even in my own life, is Satan attacks more the people who are really trying to do the work of the Lord than he does with those who are not. That's why I think he's been after us so much here. Because we have been on fire in this church for a long time, even before I got here. Yes, problems here and there. But Austinville has always been a working church. Austinville has always strived to serve the needs of the community. And I think it's for those reasons Satan said, I got to do something about these people. Well, I got news for him this morning. He failed. And what he doesn't realize is he only gave us strength to do even more than we've done in the past. He's only given us courage to know that, man, if we can stand through the mess that you have tried to bring us through, Satan, then we can face anything that you throw at us. Bring it on. We're ready. Because we got God on our side. Haggai told these people it's time to get back to work. As these people were conjuring up another letter and they sent it to Darius, and they said to Darius, these people don't have authorization to build in Jerusalem, Darius. Search their letters, and in their letters you will find that they don't have this right. And so Darius did that very thing. He went and searched the documents, and you know what he found? He found that these people who were writing these lies and accusations, they were telling a lie. And then Darius, in chapter 6, he issued a decree and said the very people who were causing these accusations and telling these lies and trying to discourage the people of God, he said, I want you to be the one to help them. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The Lord said the very people who are trying to stop you and discourage you and destroy the work that you're trying to achieve, he said, these are the very people who are going to help you achieve the work. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And Darius issued that decree. And then in chapter 6, verse 13, the Jews continued the work. They started the work back in verse 14. The elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built and they finished it according to the commandments of God. The opposition thought they were winning. And what they didn't realize is God was just coming up with another plan for his people to go forward. They completed the temple with the discouragement from within and the distractions from without. And what we're going to see this evening is in chapter 6 through the remainder of the book. This wasn't the end of the heartaches, y'all. There were some things that happened from chapter 7 through 10 that's going to break your heart if you're human. There are some things that happened in chapter 7, verse 10 that if you're a human being, and you have a family, and you got love in your heart, it ought to make you shed a tear. And we're going to look at that this evening, and we're going to show that when we think sometimes we've done everything we need to do to make our relationship right with God, there still may be some things left that we need to fix. And sometimes those are the hardest things to fix. I pray, it is my prayer for the members here, that as we move forward, and the reason I'm doing this series of lessons, following God's relationship with Israel, coming back to Jerusalem, is because just like the children of Israel, y'all, we're trying to build something.
We're trying to come together and build something. Israel came back home to build something. They came back home to build a life for themselves and a life with God. And they went through trials to do it. We're coming together to build a life for ourselves and a life with God. And I'm telling you, there are so many lessons we can learn moving forward if we would just listen to them and apply them. Trouble will always come our way at 2833 Danville Road, Southwest. But it's not a reason to give up on God. It's not a reason to give up on each other. And it's not a reason to give up on 2833 Danville Road, Southwest. Just like Israel served a God who was able to help them through the accusation, the threats, and the trouble, so that they can continue to build the temple and complete it, the same God we serve today can help us through anything that we may face in the future. Like some of my high school kids used to say, believe that. Believe that. If you're here today and life has caused you to be distracted, some things in your life have caused you to lose focus. Maybe you're not as faithful as you know you should be. Maybe you know you should be here every Sunday to remember the death of Christ, but life has gotten in the way and caused you to neglect that responsibility. You know, there are many things that the church does that we can argue about as to whether it's required or not. But one day cannot be argued about. And that's the Lord's day where he has said, remember my son. If life has gotten in the way and you've neglected that duty, come forward when we sing. And let us pray for you that God will give you strength and refocus you so that you can go to heaven. If you're here today, you're not a child of God, and something has been holding you back. Maybe it's your friend. Maybe it's your fear. Whatever it is, there's nothing greater than heaven that should stop you from becoming a child of God. All you have to do is come forward, express and confess your faith in Christ, the willingness to change your life and follow God, follow His Son, and be baptized so your sins can be washed away. We'll walk with you. We'll hold your hand. If we can help you in any way, please come. As together we stand and sing.
Fount of love from the source of